Hey friends, welcome back to A Homemaker's Manifesto, the podcast. My name is Issa, and this is the podcast companion to my Substack page by the same name, A Homemaker's Manifesto. If you are new here, if you're listening for the first time, if you follow me and kind of vaguely know who I am but aren't sure, as I said, my name is Issa. I am a writer, homemaker, homeschool mama, homesteader, living in the Ozarks. I grew up. My kind of claim to fame is I grew up very far left and progressive in San Francisco, and now I'm writing about all of the many things that have entailed a massive paradigm shift from the left to a, you know, conservative, born-again Christian, and, you know, a lot of my experiences from the outside looking in of Christian culture today, relearning a lot of Christian and American history and, you know, just general world history from a perspective that does not have an animus towards the Christian worldview and actually sees the spread of the gospel and the Christian religion as a generally good thing, although there is, of course, a ton of nuance within that. And so, you know, just to give you an idea of my creative process, I sat down here to be like, oh, hey, what's up, guys? Let's talk about some podcast stuff. And by way of trying to introduce myself, if you hadn't listened to me before, just dove into a dissertation on why I am no longer a progressive leftist and what converting to a follower of Christ means in this current world. And that happens to be incredibly pertinent to what I wanted to talk about today, which is how much I love my country, despite growing up with somewhat of a bias against all of the aforementioned, you know, the spread of Christianity, the founding values of our nation, the current state of our nation, my views on government and America and all of that, which what is really interesting, I think really important to remember this holiday weekend, following many years of culture war surrounding the virtue of patriotism, the sort of woke truth about our country, is that there is so much in between these two ideas that are presented to us in a paradigm, a binary, tribalistic, you're either woke or you're MAGA or whatever the case may be. I always say, you know, gender is not fluid, but ideology certainly is. And the truth of that from a Christian perspective is that we are all fallen. We do not understand like God understands. He presents to us in the meta-narrative of the Word of God that he has given to us by inspiration of the Holy Spirit. He shows us the truth about justice, authority, supreme righteousness, and supreme authority, which is, of course, all held by him, defined by him. And the beautiful and heartbreaking and glorious and incessantly dramatic narrative of human history, from everything we know right through this moment, through the lens of scripture and that perfect rubric of knowing, which is through God's eyes, and we can't fully see it as human beings. We see humans who all sorts of different paths have either completely forsaken God, not known him, and tried to cobble together some sort of understanding of truth and justice and righteousness, and the spiritual, people who are led by what I think a lot of us would safely say are the fallen angels, agents of the spiritual battle that we are told is taking place in sort of a different realm, different dimension, if you will. And then we have people who believe in God, who have his word, who desire to obey it. And what I love is that you see this drama, this perpetual, what would you say, story playing out in the Old Testament histories. And which, by the way, I take as history. They're some of the most reliable, authoritative historical documents that, you know, preserve today. And they my homeschooled children have learned, you know, ancient history. We're going through, our second cycle of doing it since they were in first grade. We start with, you know, Old Testament history as well as what we have on history, you know, we have recorded from other cultures and places and writings. Anyway, that was just an aside. I take the Old Testament as history, the histories at least. But they show us quite a few examples of what it looks like when the people turn away from God and worship the literal gods of the world, you know, worship the false pagan gods of the land that they lived in and were supposed to dominate with God's authority. And we show people realizing that they were getting it wrong. And of course, elsewhere in the Old Testament, particularly Psalms, we see God, men crying out to God and saying, I have done wrong, so to speak, to say the least. There are so many different stories of human failing in the whole of the Bible, including, the New Testament as well and the apostles. And to me, I see that as such a beautiful grace that God has given us to show us that while we have this human tendency to expect perfection out of ourselves or our fellow man, and by the way, feeling as though we are failing to meet that perfection is a form of valuing human perfection, if that makes sense. Insecurity is rooted in our own idea of how better looking we think we should be, or better at things we think we should be, instead of praising God for all of our challenges, because we know that he turns those things around for his glory when we trust in him. So, yes, the Old Testament gives us this ongoing story of, are we obeying God? Are we honoring his truth, his explanation of how things work and what is right and wrong? Or are we going after a human idea of what that should be? And I love learning history and thinking about history through this lens, because I feel like it explains everything. And so the history of our country is such a awesome example. And I don't mean perfect by any stretch of the imagination. I mean, it's sort of a really awesome and challenging and interesting example of, okay, you know, what does it look like when humans came together? And they did, let's be real, they blended sort of more modern humanist ideas of how government should work. The founding fathers were, for the most part, most of them, devout Christians, despite the fact that there were a couple of them were deists. It's actually very few I have read. I'll try to link some resources in the notes, because people always ask me about this, like, what's the real non-progressive leftist history of our country? And yes, the general culture in the United States, particularly among the founding fathers, they were devout Christians, most of them, you know, Protestants, and that matters because this was almost immediately after the Protestant Reformation in the grand scheme of world history. And the Reformation drastically changed the way people thought about their capacity to govern themselves within God's law. Quick side note, if you're not a Protestant, I have nothing but, I love my non-Protestant. I don't even really identify as a Protestant anymore, because I feel like that only defines you as not a Catholic or an Orthodox. I am a follower of Christ. I love my brethren in the Lord. I fully believe that people from all denominations who fully have accepted the true full gospel and are born again in him will be in the kingdom with me one day. So just a quick side note there. And the truth is that studying American history has, God has used this in my life to open my heart much more up to Christians of different denominations. I am non-denominational and used to have a rather bit of, opposition to having denominations at all. Now I see that's a whole other topic, but the history of our country, I think, is a incredible and very beautiful example of a place. I mean, it stands alone in world history among all the other nations, you know, our modern understanding of nation, country. And it's actually quite unique in that our country is not, just like the Christian faith, our country was not founded on our ethnicity or a nationality. When the Bible talks about nations, it's talking about different ethnic groups, because that used to define what a country was. And our country is so unique in that anyone can be American. And I don't mean at all to make it sound like the United States and our government is comparable to the Christian faith, but it was very profoundly influenced by the Christian faith. It is certainly fair to say that our nation was not based on the Christian religion, but it is impossible to divorce the influence of genuinely Christian ideals on the lives and the thought patterns of the founding fathers and the culture that the United States was founded in. And again, I will link books, the resources that have allowed me to see this fuller picture, because I'm not a historian, I'm not an expert at all. But what the reason I'm so fired up and passionate and opinionated about this is that it blew my mind how much more just complicated, how much we just reduce the perceived morality of our country to really, really simplistic terms. And it's such a shame because, I don't know, as a lover of history, as a lover of story, as a lover of human beings and God, I find it fascinating how many layers of nuance there can be in questions like that, because there are a ton of different people involved. There are a ton of different generations in the United States. I mean, when we talk about slavery, it's like slavery was allowed when the country was founded. We find that abhorrent today, thus we think the entire founding of our country was abhorrent. But our country was founded in a system where slavery was already very well established, and it was not anywhere near as taboo as it is today. And the people who changed the public perception of slavery, for the most part, were Christians. They were Christians, a black and white, and I'm sure in between, because slavery did not just exist, and to this day does not just exist, with white slave owners trading black slaves. Slavery still exists in the world today. Slavery existed everywhere, all the way up until the UK and the United States. I mean, this is a drastic, reduction of history myself, but just, when we consider that it was actually an incredibly new thing for the populous and powerful countries to want slavery to end. And it ended in the UK and the United States. And to this day, people in the UK and in the United States, or people around the world who are influenced by postmodern ideas, largely developed within Western Europe and the United States, blame the UK and the United States the most for systemic racism. That is not to say that there aren't impacts of the fact that we had little, government institution slavery in our country. We did. We shouldn't hide from that at all, particularly because it's the people who align with our values who worked really hard to stop that because they believe what the Bible says about the value of human life and the dignity and the value of human worth, as well as the ideas that, I've got homestead chores going on outside. Sorry, if you can hear the banging in the background, that's what's going on. But, and so I lost my train of thought. We reduce slavery to a binary issue, and it is one that actually pits conservative Christians against postmodern atheists. And we're told that those are the lines between black and white. And that is so reductionist and overly simplistic. And, I'm sorry, you can hear the scoff and the scorn in my voice. I think we need to be careful too, because it piques us all to, this is just so absurd. I can't believe these people can't think in broader terms than I can. But the truth is, we are all, we are all fallen, we all fall short. I might feel as though I am incredibly right about this issue, and I'm immediately going to start, straying from the way my Lord calls me into, and feel piqued with pride and righteousness. And the truth is, no matter how great and glorious our nation, or its founding ideals, because our nation has done a lot of things that I adamantly oppose, because I believe in the founding values of our nation, and I believe in the Bible. But even though our country stands apart, I don't know if it's blasphemous to call it a city on a hill, because we as Christians are supposed to be a city on a hill. But look at what, and if you don't understand the reference, I don't have it off the top of my head, but there was a vision of the United States was going to be a city on a hill for people to see the beacon of this new revolutionary idea of liberty and self-governance according to a person's personal moral convictions as based on the word of God, as would have been largely assumed, again, in a post-Reformation climate and culture where people were thinking about, I don't need this institution of Rome to tell me how to worship, and so maybe I don't need these royal systems to tell me how to live my life, because we have all seen so many wicked kings who have taken supreme authority on themselves and not humbled themselves to God. The UK stands alone. You know, my heritage is largely in Ireland and the UK, which itself, you know, you get into a lot of moral complexity as far as an affection I have for Great Britain and in England, and the affection I have for my Irish ancestors. Quick side note, I've probably gone on like 3 different rabbit trails and I'm lost in the woods now, but you know, I live in the Ozarks, and as somebody who grew up on the West Coast, moving here has been a bit of a culture shock, because it is a very different culture, especially, you know, in the rural area that I live, where people are incredibly lovely, but I noticed how different the culture is and how many things I don't quite understand, sort of like customs and mannerisms and expressions that are all very new to me. But it occurred to me that the area where I live, which was settled by very brave homesteaders in the 19th century, it was settled by, you know, the Scot and probably Irish, as a lot of the South was. And they were just like me, where they had moved here to start a homestead and pave a new way and escape tyranny, you know, to reduce the situation that would have been impacting their lives and currently impacting our lives, to slightly hyperbolic terms, but maybe only slightly. But yeah, anyway, that's just an aside, that living here, I feel so connected with heritage that in a way that growing up as, you know, white, ethnically Irish and English woman with basic, you know, I don't have a big family, pretty much no, not much of a connection to my past. This is a fun and sweet way to connect a little bit to my past. And again, because I love history, it's very meaningful to me. But I think what I was saying is that, you know, the United Kingdom stands alone, or perhaps it's not fair to say stands alone, but I happen to know, you know, being a resident of a former colony of the United Kingdom, I happen to know a fair bit more about British and American history than I do about the history of other countries. And the UK's history of slowly evolving into holding its monarch accountable to God, again, probably a reductionist history, slightly, but you know, I know a lot of you, I've spoken to Brits who agree with me. It is a very special place where God has done a lot of work, and I think we have seen in the way that they have organized their society and their country, while again very, very far from perfect, and the British Empire has been responsible, you know, British agents have been responsible for very wicked, evil, ungodly things. But you see an interest in the population of having, particularly in the Victorian era, having a society that reflects what God tells us is good for us, basically. Again, I'm speaking in very simple terms. I love these topics, so I'd love to hash out any of these with you guys. And this is a very just casual conversation. I'm just chatting with you all about why I love my country. And the truth is, I love my country just like I love my, you know, sort of motherland in the British Isles and Ireland. The same way that I love people. I see that our manly governments are reflections of our fallen hearts, as well as when the people know God, when the people intentionally follow God, how we yearn for truth and justice and righteousness. Truth, goodness, and beauty are objectively defined by God, and they resonate within our soul whether or not we are capable of living up to Christ's perfection and our glory. And we know that we're not, and that's wonderful news, because he has already lived it for us and he has done it for us. And I absolutely love God's word so much because, you know, especially as a writer and a lover of stories, it has shown me the way that he has ministered to the hearts of humanity, the heart of humanity, through story. He he meets us where we were designed to crave and to love him. And he will recompense, he will make right all of the horrible things that just prick our conscience and hurt our heart. You know, if you're like me and you've always been a bleeding heart, you know, it was the Beatitudes that when I read the Bible and I was like, this is exactly what I have been. I've been, you know, hungering and thirsting for righteousness. And it was so hard to try to make sense of truth and righteousness and justice when I did not believe in God. And I could see that human beings clearly, you know, I was a socialist, and it bothered me that everybody seemed to do it so poorly, because that is what, you know, communists and socialists will say, is, oh, it hasn't been done correctly. And that's certainly quite arguable, because the Marxist system is a very sort of, you know, complex, materialistic, modern, at the time, incredibly novel way of understanding the world. And it has permeated our culture. It has influenced our culture far more than many Christians realize, which is why I've so urgently wanted to share how much the church and people within, you know, who identify as Christian, who have a relationship with the Lord, don't realize they're often being influenced by lies that are set up. Ultimately, if you look back at the history of this philosophy and these ideas and how they have permeated through our culture, rooted in ideas like Marx's, that and where, you know, in the beginning stages of this were forming during the Enlightenment, when our country was founded. So that's worth noting. You know, again, our country isn't perfect. I love the founding ideals of this country. It makes absolutely no sense to pretend as if that has played out perfectly, but it has played out. God has used it all for his glory, and that's why I praise him, because our country has been used to spread the gospel all over the world. Christianity has spread all over and just in the last 200 years, our nation has been, and the UK too, it's interesting, have been huge driving forces in spreading the gospel around the world, translating the word of God to other languages. Christians have sort of floated on the top of the waves of the United States that have all sort of crashing mess and just awful things underneath it, the way that our military might and our economic might has expanded. There's so much we could say there of just genuine human wickedness that has been expanded at the same time. The word of God has been ahead of it, and, you know, his whole plan is playing out. And I got sidetracked there. So anyway, in conclusion, all that is to say, you know, to love our country is not to idolize human perfection. There are a lot of people who might feel tempted into that, but no matter what your ideological system, no matter who you are or what your beliefs or what your background or religion, we are all tempted to create a false human ideal of perfection and strive after that instead of the simple truth of the gospel, which necessitates our full surrender and humility that, yeah, human beings aren't perfect, and I'm not perfect, and I'm never going to be perfect. And there's so much to praise God for in that, because he has filled in that imperfection for us. He has given us everything that we need to feel, to know and trust and have faith in that perfect perfection and government and glory that we crave. So loving our country is loving our neighbor, wanting our government to fear God, and by that I mean in our country, our government, we think of it as this monolithic entity of, you know, evil wealthy reptilians or whatever, however you might see the government. We live in a Republican system, which means our governments in the United States are made up of literally thousands of different individuals. If all those people fear God and want to obey the law that the populace in Republican countries come together to decide, or, you know, elect representatives to decide how laws should reflect what is good for our country. If we all believe that what is good for our country, or a majority believes that what is good for our country, is Christian ethics, is biblical morality, is the fear of the Lord and respect for his creation, chiefly man and woman who are made in his image. If you are a Christian, don't you believe that is objectively the best thing for this country. You know, I used to be very sort of anti-government, quasi-libertarian, and I thought it was wrong to, as we often say, legislate morality. But all laws legislate morality. That's what they do. If you want the government to merely enforce a few small things, or you yourself want to enforce what you think is right or wrong to be done to you, you are, I suppose you're not trying to legislate, but you're trying to enforce morality. You know, legislation is how we come together and agree to legislate morality. That's what it is. And you cannot legislate fear of the Lord, but you can demonstrate it. You can demonstrate it in the way that you live your life. You can demonstrate it in the way that you interact with your government, the way that you love your neighbor, treat your neighbor, tell your neighbor how you think your community should be governed, how right and wrong should be enforced there. Because we all have our ideas of how it should be done, whether you're a libertarian, even if you're an anarchist, you still have an idea about what it's mostly what should not be done, except for, you know, the communist anarchists, who, that's a completely different story. But everybody, no matter who you are, has an idea about what they think other people should do, particularly the people who say nobody else has a right to tell other people what to do, because they don't realize that that in itself is a belief about what somebody else should or shouldn't do. So yeah, those are my thoughts this 4th of July weekend, as I'm thinking about the history of our country and just how much, how grateful I am to be an American, how grateful I am for this country, what it has taught me about being a member of the global population, the worldwide family of Christ, which certainly extends beyond all borders and nationalities. And that is, you know, if you don't get that message in the New Testament, I recommend reading it again and looking out for that. Because the way that Christ transcends the boundaries that this earthly world, human beings, genetics create, is just one of the pinnacle, just mercies and graces and beautiful ways that the gospel just permeates all of this fallen world and will defeat all of the evil and the bad things and the sin. And hallelujah, praise the Lord for that. So yeah, that is it for today. Thank you so much for joining me today. Again, I would so love to hear, I feel like there are so many different side conversations I would have wanted to have on all of these different topics. This is really my passion. I know I write a lot about biblical womanhood and femininity and submission and feminism, but truth be told, a lot of my paradigm shift over the last couple of years has centered around, especially as a homeschool mom, learning all of this history, again, from a Christian perspective. You know, I could do a whole other episode on how, you know, womanhood and marriage and family ties into this topic. But yeah, reconsidering what it means to govern morally from a Christian perspective was a huge turning point in my life and honestly helped me grow so much in my faith. We have this understanding that, you know, the spiritual and the political are somehow different, or, you know, how we vote and our faith should be separate from each other, or you know, that you can't grow closer to God through your study of history or government. The entire earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, and we see his truth reflected in everything, even if a lot of that truth is here's how human beings fail and here's where we put our faith errantly. That just points us right back to him when we are truly looking at things through a biblical perspective. So yeah, I just love that. Praise the Lord. So yes, I would love to hear from you guys, your thoughts, especially I know that not all of you are American, so I'm sorry for my incredibly stereotypical America-centric view there. So yeah, I would be really interested to hear your thoughts as well. If you are new here, if you're listening for the first time, I would love to have you as a subscriber over on A Homemaker's Manifesto, which is Issa Ryan. homemakersmanifesto.substack.com. You can probably just Google a Homemakers Manifesto Substack and you will find it. You can find me on Instagram. I'm also a Homemakers Manifesto over there. If you're a new listener, would love, you know, just comment somewhere and say hey and introduce yourself. I love talking with you guys. It is honestly the best part of doing all of this. Substack, I use Substack because it is a free speech publication. I don't get censored over there like I would on the big tech platforms. And they also make it really easy for creators like me to monetize my content without having to go through, you know, third-party Google advertising or things like that, just to be able to do what I'm doing. So I do have an exclusive community over there for premium subscribers. It is currently just $20 a year, and you will get entered to win a pair of Apple Bluetooth earbuds, 3 audiobooks of your choice, a lifetime subscription to the premium community on a Homemaker's Manifesto, as well as a copy of my ebook, Back to Homemaking. And I totally forgot about that. I probably should have led with this because it's big news. But if you've made it this far, I'm really excited to tell you. My friend Allison and I have just launched a private community for, you know, biblical-minded, submission-minded women who are already on a journey, sort of getting reacquainted with their femininity or exploring biblical, godly femininity, as opposed to the variety of ways in which, you know, Christians in the world alike sort of get womanhood wrong, miss the mark. We are, you know, not to say that we're like perfect experts on biblical womanhood or anything, but we are both super passionate about the holistic picture, the wholehearted approach to what it means to just be a woman living according to God's design for you. We know a lot of you out there have found so much freedom and joy in submitting to your husband, or you have a lot of questions about it. You're not really sure what it means to submit to your husband. This is an area of our faith that causes a lot of controversy, and for very good reason, because we do not want to see women being abused. Submission is not a blind, robotic obedience to a man's will. It is full freedom in Christ, and the way that the gospel plays out itself in our lives, and the way that God has designed women and wives. You know, it's not a role that you decide to take, or a costume that you put on, or a set of rules that you follow. It is freedom in Christ. It is ultimately fully rooted on freedom in Christ. And so, yes, we have created this private community. It is a private Substack community over at liberatedsurrender.substack.com/about. I'll put a link for that. Please do reach out to me though, either in a comment here or on Instagram, if you are thinking of joining, just because I'd like to chat with you a bit before we are letting you into the community. But we have early bird rates right now. It is just $50 a month and that is relatively inexpensive for a group like this, but I really just want to create the space and make it available for you guys. We do, we are going to be doing 2 Zoom meetings a month where we chat and touch base and offer support and encouragement for one another. You know, Allison is a femininity mentor, is the best way to describe what she does. It's probably so much more powerful than that, but she works with women who are just on this journey and supporting them and just where they're at in cultivating their godly femininity, rejecting the sort of selfishness and bitterness and self-centeredness that we are often so encouraged in the world today, but really impede our reliance on God and our spiritual walk. I could go on and on. That's a huge part of why we wanted to create this group, is we are just so passionate about this topic, and we get questions all the time, and we just want to create a space where we can be supporting women on their journeys. So yeah, we have 2 Zoom sessions a month, and then, you know, round the clock chat. We probably won't answer questions as we're able. So it's not like 24/7, but, you know, you can post and ask questions and interact with us at any time. There will also be podcast replays for the group sessions, so you can still, you know, listen and learn. Even if you're not able to attend the Zoom session, because I'm sure that is an issue for many of you who have busy schedules and small children, and or you might work or whatever the case may be. So yeah, please reach out, leave a comment here Let me know that you're interested in why, or reach out to me on Instagram. Or yeah, you can just go ahead and go to liberatedsurrender.substack.com/about. It will tell you a little bit more about the group and give you a link to sign up, to request a subscription, and then I can touch base with you that way too. So, yeah, I would love to have you be a part of that, and please let me know if that is something that you're interested in, like I just said, like 5 times. So if you have made it this far, thank you so much for listening. I'm super happy to have you guys with me here today, and we will be chatting again soon. All right, take care.